Hello and welcome to Behind the Journey. On this show, I discuss why you need to be making more effort with your mates. I'm at my prime. Hey, hey, I'm at my prime. Whoa. Said I'm at my prime. Hello everyone, I hope everyone is fabulous as always. And first of all, I'm extremely sorry for missing out on last week's episode, and the punchline of this episode was going to be consistency over intensity for a reason you'll find out shortly. But I thought that was kind of a bit stupid to call a show consistency over intensity when I'd missed an episode. So yeah, apologies about that. One of those things, I had loads on last week. It was a really, really busy week, and then I spent some time with the family, and then, you know, it kind of got to a point where it's like Friday and then Saturday came, and I thought, you know what, like, I'm just going to have to embrace the moment of missing an episode and go with it. And that's the reality. You guys know this. When life is busy, unfortunately, the pod slips by the wayside. It's just the way it is. Some really cool things have happened over the last few weeks. I don't know if I've covered this already. I get confused at times. Went to see Spooner at the Hortons Festival with Adam Horton. Also saw Dan from Rippled, which is their mortgage company. Had a really, really good time there. It was great fun. Haven't seen Spooner in probably 4 years. It's one of those love-hate relationships where we end up going literally years without seeing each other, but we'll go, like, you know, a few days without speaking to each other. It's pretty crazy. And that's why I love him, because I don't have to see his face very often. It's brilliant. Just drinking some green tea, trying to detox slightly as always. Doing the whole, like, sort of no drinking for a little bit, but then I've had a bit of a splurge. So I've been saying this to a few people today, actually. I went out on Saturday with the uni guys, basically, long story short. And there was an alumni event at the university on Saturday, of which all the guys came up from uni, all the ones that could make it, about 9-10 of us. And we had a night out, and some of the lads stayed at mine, some of the lads didn't. But it was absolutely amazing to be able to catch up with them all and spend some time with them. Some of them I see all the time, some of them I rarely see. It's amazing to see some of the boys that I don't see very often. And it brings me back to that age-old feeling, which is you always want to spend more time with people when you spend more time with people, right? And the one thing that I've learned, if this pandemic's taught me anything, it's that human connection, strength and connection, they're all things that are really, really crucial. And I've come to learn something over the last few weeks, probably the last few months, I won't lie, last few months, that somebody needs to make an effort. You know, for friendships to work and people to see each other, somebody has to make an effort. And I kind of thought about this over the last few weeks more deeply, about the certain friends that always made the effort with me and the friends that didn't make the effort with me, and the fact that I really haven't been making a huge effort to see my friends and put the graft in. And that kind of changed a couple of weeks back. I went to see Ollie, one of my mates, and his girlfriend, and we just had some lunch and had like a little walk. It was really nice to kind of catch up with them guys. And then obviously I did the same thing for this Saturday, and I'll be carrying on doing the same moving forward. I just think it's really, really important to make effort with people, because that person's probably thinking the same way, like, who's making an effort with me? Well, nobody, but somebody's always going to make an effort. So you're going to hear a lot more about me, maybe not publicly, but just making more effort into relationships, you know, just making those connections deeper, because I've got some amazing, amazing friends and relationships. But sometimes I don't believe that I put enough graft into myself, and I rely on other people to put the graft in. And I kid myself, right? I kid myself by saying I'm really busy with work or I'm really tired or whatever, but that's absolutely no excuse. The most important things in this world are our relationships. So I've been seeing my dad and my brother more. I've been seeing my friends more. I've been having, you know, business lunches more with people rather than just having a business Zoom. You know, I've been trying to embed much, much deeper connections. And that's really been on the show for me since lockdown kind of cracked on, really. But yeah, that was it. I didn't plan that. But that's kind of my summary of the last few months of meeting people. It's that, you know, go out there, guys, build your connections up. And I know some of you may be still scared of COVID, and I completely get that. I'm not. Like, I'm very much openly saying to people these days that, just, like, you know, it is what it is for me right now. I'm really not that bothered at this point. To the point of, you know, if it wipes me out, it wipes me out. I genuinely would rather go out and live my life and have some great memories and great friends than cower in a room for far too long. So for me, it is what it is. I'm 28 years old now. I was 26 when we went into COVID. I don't want to have another 2 years worrying. I'm just going to crack on, and it is what it is. That's how I see it. That's how I see my life. It is what it is. So I'll be doing that a lot more, seeing a lot more people, going to more events, and having a great time, living my life the best I can. And I get that not everyone can do that, right? I get that not everyone can do that. But if you can, I implore you to do so. Take precautions, be sensible, get your vax, do everything sensible, but please go and live your life. Go and live your life, because this isn't going to go away. This is what I can see right now. This isn't going to go away. Israel now want to do a third vaccine. It's not going to go away. So I just think, you know, let's stop cowering. We're all young who listen to this podcast. Well, majority of us are young who listen to this podcast. Be sensible, but life's for living, right? It's really, really important to go and build relationships with great friends and make great memories. That's what it's all about. Been a really, really busy period of time for me. Unthin, launch been delayed, cardboard bloody boxes was one delay, manufacturing was another fucking delay, the website was another fucking delay, delay. If you're in startup world, you get it, delays happen. We move on with our lives, right? We get it. But it's just so frustrating sometimes for things if I have like a 2 month delay, and you know, as me I guess I'm more visionary, strategy, overlooking things. You know, I'm not really doing the internal doing so much. I can't push things on. I have no control of pushing things on. It's really, really, really frustrating sometimes. But today, I went and built my first adverts in a long, long time. I haven't built Facebook ads in years, mate. Years. And I went back and I got the canvas. Got a blank canvas out, and I sketched some things out, got a few designs done by the team, and I started putting them as live. It was absolutely brilliant. So it went about 3 years to build a Facebook ad. And I had some help. Of course, I had some help. But for me, I loved it. I loved it. It's what I got into the game to do. And sometimes when you're building a business where you're employing people to do the job you once did, you forget what you love about the job. And I'm not going to sit here and deny it. You know, I'm not as passionate as I once was about Distract. You know, I absolutely used to love running ads, love running campaigns. And now I don't do that so much. And to be able to get back into it with my new brand is absolutely phenomenal and absolutely amazing to see. It's been great fun being part of that new campaign and loving life so much. One thing I want to touch on, I think it's really, really cool. The last podcast with Dan Higginson, Wapta Glasses, thought it was absolutely phenomenal. I have got some really great feedback on Instagram from you guys. I think you all thought it was pretty great. Dan's a great, great guy. You can tell the one thing with Dan versus, let's say, me, for example, is he's much more calculated in the way he thinks and the way he processes thoughts. Someone asks me a question, I'm banging straight back with what's on the top of my head. Dan's very calculated and understanding with his responses. And he's a really, really smart guy. And he's created a really great brand there. One that I literally wear every single day, whether it be the blue light glasses or the sunglasses. So to have him on the show was absolutely phenomenal. Dan came up on Saturday with the uni guys. And, you know, you forget how great your connections are and your relationships are with people when you aren't seeing them so much. So I said to him and Matt, who also came down, that I will be popping to Manchester and seeing those boys again. The journey he had with Wapta, I thought was amazing. I thought it wasn't what was the standard entrepreneurial journey. He went to university, didn't really think about anything from an entrepreneurial standpoint, saw other people making the mold, decided to give it a go. And he's built a great business, like I've said. The one thing that stood out for me, the one thing that I thought was really, really interesting for me, was the phrase he used, consistency over intensity. And he said this a few times in the podcast. And I wrote it down. Now, I don't write anything down when I do podcasts, but the one thing I wrote down was consistency over intensity. And that's what I want to talk about on this podcast. And the reason we're talking on this podcast is because there's no way you can do both. You can't be consistently intense. But you can run at things short pace, intense, and long term consistently. And I think about having the fine working balance of all of them. And there's times in my life and in my business where I'll be all in. The whole thing will inundate my whole life. I won't have any personal connections. I won't see anyone personally. I won't be able to do anything. I'm all in on the business. And when Dan said, I need to get better at being consistent over intense, I remembers when I was overly intense. The intensity was huge. And this was right at the start of the journey for Distract. Now, the reason I talk about this sort of thing is I think there's two key areas. There are times in your business journey where you need to be, have huge levels of intensity. And there's times in your business journey where you have to be massively consistent. And consistency is the way forward. And when I first started Distract, it was all about intensity. It was all about running at things really fast, getting in front of as many people as possible, breathe, do some revision, do some uni work, running people really fast, going at this, doing that, getting a name for myself, getting on the speaking circuit, running around and having huge intensity. But as you start maturing out, as you start building a business, as you start building structure into the business, the intensity isn't as required as much as possible. And the reason it's not as required as much as possible, from what I can see, is your team are doing the intense movements for you at scale. If I have 10 people working consistently on something, everyone being consistent to a certain degree is creating a certain level of intensity. If you have one person being consistent, they aren't going to be creating the level of intensity required. You get intensity with volume. You get intensity with numbers. And that's the thing that I've learned with Distract is you do need intensity with you in your business. You do. But you also need consistency. Now, when you build a brand, people's consistency times by the headcount creates intensity. When you start, you don't have the headcount. You've got to be intense as fuck. And I really believe when Dad said that, he actually said, I need to be more consistent with my actions over intense. And I kind of thought, on reflection, you do need both. It's just what is prioritized with your time at that one period of moment. And that's what I thought. For me, if you're in a startup world, you've got to run at things like a mad fucking man because there isn't nobody helping you out for the ground from day one. You know, consistent small growth isn't going to matter. You need to be intense, get in front of everyone, build those connections, pass it on until you can get someone to be consistent for you. I truly believe that 90% of successful entrepreneurs are intense as fuck. They're intense as fuck. They're ruthless as fuck, and most of them are not calculated consistent artists. Simple as that. That's what I thought. When I heard that, that's what I thought. Back to the Horton's Festival. You know, I went to see Adam Horton with Swiss Spooner in, where was it? I don't know, Leicester way. And saw Dan from the mortgage company. And it was really, really great. Like I said, it was really great seeing Spooner, really great seeing Dan. It was a really, really good evening. The one thing I noticed there was that Adam had essentially created a huge community. Now, if you don't know who Horton is or who Adam is, let me just quickly break it down for you. Adam Horton, estate agent for a long, long period of time, created his first round of estate agency probably about 8 to 10 years ago now. Maybe a bit longer. And unfortunately, it went under. It went under because he built the estate agency model under the conventional sense. It was, you're an estate agent, you hire more estate agents, you hire progressors, you hire viewers, you have a nice big office on a high street, you try and make money. And we all know, anyone with a brain cell in 2021 knows that that model has changed. Purple Bricks wiped that model completely out. And nowadays, it needs to be different. It needs to be an online estate agency. But what Horton decided to create was a new world agency, an agency which he calls the hybrid model, the model where you have self-employed agents working within an umbrella with a central office that manages everything else. So you still have the on-the-floor care. You still have the personal touch and service as a local estate agency would have, but you have the lean, the agility, the marketing spend, the intensity and consistency that a online agent would have. And it's blown up massively. He has agents all across the East Midlands. He's what I think is the fastest growing estate agency in that region, and he's absolutely smashing it. Now, Adam decided to create an event, which me and Sabina called Horton's Fest, which is a Horton's summer party, which he invited all of his contacts to and all of his estate agents to. That's how I managed to bag myself an invite. Great event. But what I really noticed from this event was much, much more. I don't know many companies that put on a massive event like that for their contacts and their staff, but this wasn't just a company. When you looked and you walked into the event, what you actually saw was a huge community, a community that was not just the staff or not just the suppliers, but people weathered and integrated with the wider objective at hand. You see, what I believe Hortons have created here is a community that think they're better than the standard. A community that know they're working against the biggest brand in the space, and a community that knows that what they're doing is the right thing. And as a combined together, they do amazing things. They had the estate agents there. You had the progressors there. You had the mortgage guys there. You had mugs like me and Spooner there. You had everybody there that made it all happen. And they all came together for one massive celebration of progress. And when I say progress is because I know what Horton was thinking. Horton wasn't doing this for any reason than just saying, cheers, guys, I appreciate it. I want to keep you all together. I want to have a good time with you. It's been a bit of a shitty time with COVID. Let's have a party. That's why he did it. He didn't do it for any other reason. He did it because he wanted to bring his community together. And he fucking did. And the great thing is, sometimes I think business owners believe there needs to be a reason to have a party. Horton, to me, showed that you don't need a reason to have a party. He showed me that actually, if you pull everyone together who's decent, that works for us, that supports us, that's what you need. That's the excuse you need for a party. People showed up in force. It's a great event. It was cool. And even better, because Spooner booked the hotel, we got Hilton Diamond membership points or whatever. So my room got an upgrade. And that made it even better. I don't know about you guys. I never use these Amex points and Hilton points. I'm just like, I don't even have a credit card personally. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't use these. Shit, this reminds me. That reminds me of a point I wanted to make a couple of episodes ago, but I forgot. I was punished for paying off my car. Yep, yep. Hear that again? I was punished. So I just bought a new car. And before I had that car, I had another car on lease. And my credit rating, not to boast, was 999 out of 999. It was pristine. Your boy worked on that for years, right? I've always been good at handling myself. 999. I paid this car off, right? I didn't have a car loan anymore, right? And every now and again, I'd be like, oh, let's see what my credit rating is. 999, way, yeah? Logged in. 850 or something, 812 or something, right? And I looked into it. I was like, what the fuck? I've not done anything. It's like any loan now. Not the fault of any debt. Why the fuck has it gone down 100 and whatever points? So I spoke to my finance broker. I said, what's this about? What's happened here? And he said, oh, basically, your credit rating isn't just about your ability to get loans. Your credit rating is also about the ability for the people who give you money to get the maximum out of you. You see, when you paid your debt off, you basically sent a flag out to everyone saying that he doesn't pay all the interest. He pays it off as soon as he can pay it off. Therefore, if you're loaning him money, you're not going to get the most you can get out. You can't squeeze him like a sponge like everyone else. So they hit my credit rating for paying my car off early. Mad, isn't it? And the only way I paid it off, I didn't pay it off with cash because I'm not a fucking moron. Yeah, I paid it off by selling the car, right? So I got a car, then I sold the car, and then used the proceeds to pay the existing loan off, right? It wasn't anything deep. I didn't just get a lump sum and pay a car off because, you know, Bitcoin's for that. But they charged me my credit rating dropped. The system is against us, I tell you. I've never seen, when you start believing that the financial system is against you, right? And I do very well. I'm not sitting there saying I don't do very well. But when you actually look into the way in which the financial system is built and the way in which individuals have to try and, you know, clamber over this financial system to even get a mortgage in some cases, right? When you actually start looking into it, when you're open to the fact that actually the system is against you, the things you see are mind-blowing. You see, if I didn't know what I knew and looked in credit ratings and do all this sort of stuff, I wouldn't have even known my credit rating had dropped. And if it had dropped, I'd be like, oh, it's probably because I got that loan out not too long ago, you know, for my car, or it's because I remortgaged, whatever, right? And that's probably what I'd have thought. But because I know the financial systems are rigged against us because of just the things I've been researching, I actually know, no, the reason they dropped it is because they just realized, oh shit, I can't get another $5,000 out of Pete because he paid his debt off early. Madness. You see, the thing is, this is just more reason for blockchain technology and Bitcoin. Like, we all know this, right? The system is fucked. But the reality is you know, I really believe this now, is that we actually have there's nothing we can do about it. You know, you can buy some Bitcoin and hope they don't ban that some way. But the reality is, there's not much you can do about this stuff. So, you know, put your head down, focus on yourself, what you can handle, what you can control, and then keep moving forward as fucking always. that's just the way of the world. And I've got a note here. I'm trying to read what this note says. Oh, yeah. It says write card because I need to write my brother's birthday card because in about half an hour I'm going to his birthday meal. But that wasn't a note about the podcast. So now you all know that. Anyway, what I'm going to do next week, this is what I'm going to do next week. It might be the week after. I don't want to promise things, but the next person I have on the podcast, right, the next person on this podcast is a guy called Matt Garbutt. Now, Matt Garbutt created a company in his spare time called Fugina. Now, as it says, it's vagina-shaped fudge. And it popped off. It went completely viral all over the internet. And he sold thousands and thousands and thousands of fudge vaginas. And it was on Lad Bible. It was on all the blinking. You know, you Google fudge vagina, you'll find out where he's been, right? He's friends with myself and Dan. Dan was on last week. And he came up on Saturday. And I completely forgot about the story. He said, why don't you get me on? I sold tens of thousands of fudge vaginas. I said, oh shit, you did, man. I forgot about that. So I'm getting him on. I want to know really how he managed to PR the shit out of a product like that. How he managed to get on the front page of some of the biggest student and young demographic magazines, pages, Facebook pages a lot. How did he manage to do it with zero budget? Now, I know he put no money into this. I think he put no money into this. But all of this was organic growth. And I want to find out how you guys can do it too. So the next episode of Behind the Journey will be with Matt Garbutt and Fugina. And I really believe this will be a cracking one to listen to. So if you've got any questions that you want to fire at him, hit me up and I'll ask him myself. Just hit me up on Instagram and I'll ping them over to Matt Garb. Anyway, guys and girls, thank you as always for listening. It means a lot to me. I like rabbiting on here. I've been doing this one at home today. Standing up, trying to get more energy, you know, because I'm tired, man. I'm drinking some green tea. You get one more sip before I hang up. And, I fucking hate NFTs, right? Everyone knows I hate non-fungible tokens. But I'm going to try and buy one of the Logan Paul zoo eggs because I think they'll absolutely boom. I'll explain that in my next episode because I ain't got any time and I want to go. Thank you all for listening. It means a lot to me. Keep smiling. Keep being positive. Keep being you. I'll speak to you guys next week.